by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy as we go into this teaching. I pray that you grant me utterance, that there will be understanding granted to everyone this morning. Lord, I pray for utterance. I will not miss what you have to say to us. I will align in thought and in heart, even aligning in words, in the name of Jesus. I trust you, dear Lord. Help me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so like I said, I'm going to be teaching practically. I'm not going to be teaching probably the way I preach. So just bear with me the way, because I had to tablate them so that I can say, you know, some of those, bring out those points. Sorry, it's not going to be on the board. It's just on my own notepad. So just, you can write them down. It will help you. Praise God. Now, I'm speaking particularly on how to respond to, learning how to respond and flow with the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Now, one of the reasons why I need to talk about this is that we are a people of the Spirit. Amen. We are a people of the Spirit. We are a prophetic people. We are a prophetic generation. We are spiritual people. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning spiritual, I will not have you ignorant. Now that gift is in italics, so you can remove that. Some have translated it concerning spiritual things, because it's like it's opening up spiritual things. And so concerning spiritual, I will not have you ignorant. We can't afford to be ignorant, especially when it comes to how to yield to the Spirit, flow with the Spirit, how to, I want to use the word manage, the move of the Spirit in our midst. My desire is that we will maximize the move of the Spirit. Part of what I perceive the Lord has done for us as a church is that I've seen that. I've seen it even yesterday night. I just had a dream and I was ministering. It was a move of the Spirit throughout. I've had that before. So I know the Lord is trying to, you know, say something there, trying to show me. And I perceive that our meetings have been raised, have been heaved up, have been brought to a pedestal. And then we are going to see more of the move of the Spirit. Now, Hagin says something that is interesting in Purpose, Plan, and Pursuit. How many of us have read Purpose, Plan, and Pursuit? Put your hand up. You've read Purpose, Plan, and Pursuit? Put your hand down. How many of you have read Purpose, Plan, and Pursuit in the last 1 year? You just read in the last 1 year. That you may probably have forgotten most of the things that are there. So you need to go read it again. So I just suppose that you've not read it. How many of us have read it more than once? Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. Read it again. Amen. Now, there he talked about the move of the Spirit. Amen. He talked about the move of the Spirit, which this generation can miss if we do not learn how to flow with the Spirit. There's coming a move of the Spirit. Now, when we say move of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, they come in tidal waves. They come in tidal waves. I always use that place in the book of Acts of the Apostles where he said, Peter was talking about, he said, I will pour out of my spirit. I will pour out of my spirit. Joel said, I will pour my spirit. But Peter said, I will pour out of my spirit, meaning that it is going to be a gradual pouring until the whole cup of the spirit is totally poured out upon the church. Amen. So, in other words, for every generation, there's an allocation of the move of the Spirit meant for every generation. When I say generation now, generation, first of all, by reason of the truth that is coming, by reason of the amount of truth, amount of understanding, amount of knowledge that that church or that generation have been exposed to, there is also the move of the Spirit that follows it. One thing is this, there can be, we can carry out the, I'll call it, we can walk in truth, we can finish the course of truth without the, you know, the baptism, the bringing in of the overflow of the Spirit. It has to come upon us a deluge. So there has to be a move. The Bible said they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. Now, you need to understand that the measure of the gospel that has been, we've been allowed to preach, also has its measure of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So there, Hagin was talking about, of course, you remember in Camp Meeting 88, we talked about the move of the Spirit. There's coming a new army. Now, one of the things the new army is going to be characterized is a particular move of the Spirit. Now, why is it so particular? Because of the level of truth. For instance, when we handle meek, there's a move of the Spirit that is synonymous with it. When we are handling Christ, there is also a move of the Spirit meant for that. When the manna was sent, the manna was sent with glory. There was a cloud around the manna. So these things don't come without their spirits. That their spirit is the Holy Ghost quantity. Quantity of the Holy Ghost that accompanies the word. So if we are talking about the things everlasting, there is also the move of the Spirit. Amen. And many of them, what they prophesied was actually our generation. Now you need to believe that so that you can also prepare yourself for this move of the Spirit. And that is why as a local assembly, I think we have to begin to learn some things that we need to know so that we can prepare ourselves. Like I said, we are a spiritual people and we must understand that the move of the Spirit amidst us, you know, we must understand the move of the Spirit. We have to understand the move of the Spirit amidst us and accurately interpret it to the full profit so that we can make full profit of the move of the Spirit. Amen. Now, most moves of the Spirit, one of the things that has happened is that they didn't know how to manage it. They didn't know how to manage it. And eventually, the whole thing fizzled out. Is what I mean, manage it. The Lord gives wisdom for accurate interpretation and also how to yield, how to benefit, because the Lord isn't just giving His Spirit or pouring a measure of His Spirit for us to be excited. Now, last night, I believe the Lord showed it to me. No, it was this morning, because I had woken up the first time and then I went back to bed and then the Lord just, what I was talking about was the power of God. First of all, it was a move of the Spirit, a strong move of the Spirit, and I yielded to the Spirit. Then I was telling every other person to yield to the Spirit. I was telling them to just do what I was doing, and they will yield to, and they will just, it will just flow. And some of them were looking at me, and eventually they started it. And before you know what's happening, the whole place was, you know, taking over. And then afterwards, I began to teach. And I was teaching. What I was teaching was the power of God. The power of God as salvation. And I mentioned, I said there, I'm just remembering it right now, that prior to this time, we've understood the power, in fact, the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. We've understood the power of the Holy Ghost only from the point view of probably being filled with the Holy Ghost and just manifestation of the Spirit. But there is also the manifestation of the Spirit with regards to salvation. People who have come into salvation, there are certain manifestation and demonstration of the Spirit that is also found with them or should be common in a common place with them. Jen Lade said that, didn't she? She prophesied that. He said, "By this is how you will know the pure virgin church." He talked about the demonstration of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit that will be among them. So it is something that is already there, something that is already prepared. It's like our own cup, which we must partake of. And then when we want to, we have to partake of it fully. And so we have to know these things. Amen. The other reason why we need to learn how to, you know, flow with the Spirit is so that we're not short circuit the move of the Spirit or the flow of the Spirit in a meeting. We can short circuit the flow of the Spirit in a meeting. Yeah, we can short circuit the flow of the Spirit in a meeting. One of the things, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now, one of the things about something like this, short circuiting the flow of the Spirit in a meeting is, first of all, thoughts. Maybe there's tongues and interpretation. We can get used to it so much that when tongues and interpretation, you can be dozing. You just sleep off, waiting for them to finish so that we'll go to the word. In fact, a brother got angry. He's not here. He's a brother, one of our brothers in London, a pastor in London. He said the Lord had to rebuke him. I told him, I said, it's not only you, even me, the Lord had to rebuke. He said the Lord rebuked him because tongues and interpretation comes. All of a sudden, he just finds himself, while there are tongues and interpretation, he just finds himself doing something else. His mind is not there. He's just waiting for when they will finish so that daddy can continue teaching. You know? That can happen to us. If you're not careful, that can happen to us. Meaning we will become too familiar. Because it happens to us. Now, you need to go to some congregations. Some have called us to come to their meeting to come and activate gifts of the Spirit that is in our midst. Now, have we ever had any activation meeting here? It just flows because the Lord has to confirm His word. Now you can take it for granted. That's where I'm going to. You can. The Lord also had to rebuke me for that. You can take it for granted because He's always there. And so when tongues and interpretation is coming, then you are absent-minded. You can be thinking of your car, the tire of your car that you didn't pump, or the, you know, just your mind. The Lord told me, said, when there is move of the Spirit, your mind, especially the unrenewed mind, does not like being subject to the Spirit. So he wants to fetch something that he can be doing to accommodate itself with. Just get busy waiting for when tongues. And that way, we short circuit. So short circuiting can begin with our thoughts. Just the same way when ministration is going on, when you hear daddy say, maybe daddy reverend, we say, somebody is disturbing me. And you're wondering, nobody said anything. No, somebody is disturbing him. Actually, somebody thought is not okay. He's distorting the wavelength of the message, especially when you preach by inspiration. Inspirations are like signals of the Spirit, which the minister who had been built with the equipment to catch those signals, or is at that moment, real time, he's getting those signals and is yielding to it. And that is where the fountain is coming out from. So he will say, somebody is disturbing me. And it might just be that somebody's thoughts or somebody He's fighting a battle in his thought. Let me give an example. Those who work in the media team. Now, we use, like what I'm doing now, is radio wave. Now, there are some equipments that are very sensitive that if your phone is near it and the Bluetooth or whatever is on, it will be interfering with the wavelength. Am I right? Yes. That's the same way in the realm of the spirit, your thoughts also have wavelengths that is sending out. And those wavelengths can be short-circuiting the bringing in of the thoughts of God. Now, one thing also you must understand is that as a church, as a church, there is an amount of force or strength that we need to wield in the spirit by our focus and our concentration for us to fully receive what the Lord is doing. I'll give you an example again. It's like when somebody is preaching, maybe a minister is preaching, and we say, please help me, help me. Have you ever heard that before? And then somebody is wondering, if you're not in this flow, you'll be wondering, was he? Just preach on now, finish your message and go and sit down. No, it's not like that. Now, if you are not concentrating, you break the flow. The person will not have a flow. And that is what makes us, sometimes you see, you're looking at a particular direction and you're not looking at the other direction. Because you look at that direction, you're shutting down. But you look at another direction, the connection is strong. It's like you're with your phone, you go to the window, the connection is strong. Then you leave and you go to your dining, then there is low connection. That is basically what happens in the realm of the spirit. Yeah. So we can short circuit the move of the spirit even through our thoughts. So we have to learn how not to short circuit the move of the spirit. And some other ways we can short circuit the move of the spirit is by carelessly moving up and down without, especially when there is tongues and interpretation. Stay on your seat. Did you hear what I've just said? This is an instruction. When there is move of the spirit, one of the things we have to reverence, let's not take it for granted, reverence the Holy Ghost amidst us. Even if you feel pressed, hold it. You have been holding it before. So hold it until there is that particular session of tongues and interpretation is over before you begin to go. And then even when you begin to go, also watch to know when you should go. Don't just stand up and start going like that. Because you are in a meeting. Just your standing up can cut off the flow. I personally go out sometimes when in meeting because it's noticeable because I'm in the front. And the reason simply is because sometimes I have to stand up to stretch my legs. Amen. It's necessary for my health. I just stand up. And sometimes I have to use the restroom. Amen. I take a lot of fluid. You can see it here. I take a lot of fluid. So I have to stand up and go to the restroom. But I am always mindful. And sometimes, I will not lie to you, sometimes I will tell my wife I want to, just to hear what she will say. So it's not just me that I'm the only one. I'll tell her I want to go to the restroom. She says, sweetheart, no, just stay. I will stay. We have to submit to one another. Now, you may not be married to have somebody who will tell you that. But you can be sensitive. Hallelujah. So get married so that you have somebody can tell you that. Amen. That's not the reason to get married. Just be sensitive to the spirit. Amen. 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 And then if you are coming in, especially the ushers, you notice that people are, and I love you do that all the time. People are coming in. You don't just allow them just walk. That's why, personally, I would prefer the front rows filled up so that those who are coming can just find their way behind. And if peradventure tongues and interpretation is happening and people come, they should stand and just hold on a little bit until that is over. Then they can walk in. Praise God. I'm just talking about having reverence for the Spirit. I spoke this by the Lord. I know that. Amen. All right. Can we hear the interpretation?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear my spirit order, 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 order. Order. So I need to show you even the order that will see even to my advent, even to my return, even to my coming frequently, even in the midst of my people, even to finding free course and access, even in the midst of my people. What I'm even showing you, what has been taught to you, even this time, is a teaching after the order of faithfulness, after the order of faithfulness. For you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful even to the move of the Spirit that's committed to you as a generation. And for you to be faithful, you need to be taught. You need to be taught how to preserve even the move in your midst. For you see, you work with an enemy. You work against an enemy that is skilled at wearing out people. By wearing out that, even causing them not to hold in high regard even the legacy of the Spirit that is committed to them, even in their generation. Ah, so you must learn this wisdom. For to your generation is committed a great responsibility, even a great responsibility, for you are to work even with ministering spirits. They are to minister for you. They are to minister alongside you, and they are sticklers of order. They understand the order of the Spirit. They understand how to flow with the Spirit, and they prosper even in their assignment in places where understanding of the move of the Spirit is well spelled out and well adhered to. It's well adhered to. It's well adhered to. So what you are learning is not just for your personal development. It is also to preserve the legacy of the Spirit that has been given to you. It's to preserve the legacy of the Spirit that has been committed to your generation. And you are to be found faithful. You are to be found faithful. And not just faithful. You should also commit it to faithful men who also teach others also and cause even this legacy of the Spirit to be preserved, even to run its full course. It's to run its full course. It's to run its full course. But it needs order. It needs a people of order. I'm showing you the requirement of order. So you also can begin to align and allow the Spirit to move freely. For he's not yet moving as he wants. I'm not yet moving as I ought to move. I'm not moving as freely as I ought to move. But as you learn this order, I will have access. I will have access even to work the way only I can work, so that certain salvation programs even can be brought to you, even in your time, even in this your time. Learn this order. Learn this order. Learn the Spirit, says the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. We will learn. I'm not hearing you say amen. Now, these are instructions that I expect us to adhere to. Amen. Now, one other one that Hagin, Daddy of Blessed Memory, Hagin, Kennedy Hagin mentioned, which I always, thank God we don't do that, but I also discover that some maybe in a general meeting, like a believers convention or meeting of a general this thing. I still find some of us fall prey to that. I'm sorry. I'm going to mention it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get anybody offended. I'm not meaning to invalidate anybody, but I'm just adhering to what Hagin said. Amen. I know we don't do it. Now, I have to say this, but I'm not invalidating anybody. I am not against anybody. I am not trying to. One thing you must know is that these instructions that I'm giving is for us as a household. It's for us as a household. You know, in a household, the way you run your house is not the way he runs his house. You run your house by the instructions the Lord has given to you. Now, somebody else will have to run his house by the instructions the Lord has given to him. And probably the instructions the Lord has given to you is because of some things he wants to do in your own house, which he might not have started in the other person's house. Now, not to say that your house is now higher than the other person's house. It's just the peculiarity of house or sheepfold. Amen. Now, one of the things I've learned is that if we are following Hagin, we have to follow him fully. We've had a lot of benefits, a lot of flow from Hagin, and I still feel there's still a whole lot that needs to still come to us if only we can. When he was saying what he was saying, some ministers rose up and began to talk about him, tear him apart. Some rose up and began to, you know, say some things. Some theologians basically took time to pieces whatever he said, criticizing him. Well, the question I would just ask them, has the Lord appeared to you? Because the Lord's appearance is to stamp authority. And the Lord didn't appear to everybody like that. He appeared to him because of the body. Now, the Lord could have appeared to any other person, but the Lord may not have also said the same thing to them because it's not necessary. The person is not in that place where he needs to hear that. Praise God. Amen. I'm just saying this for us to take it up as an instruction. You know, Hagin was correcting them that when tongues and interpretation is given, or when there is a move of the Spirit, or a word of knowledge, or any of such demonstration of the Spirit, it is not time to clap. Clapping is not worship. Clapping is applause. So you don't clap. You hardly, in fact, you will not even hear me say, let's put our hands together for the Lord. I don't say that. I don't say that because I know it's not accurate according to what the Lord told Hagin. If we're going to be following what the Lord told him in other things, then we should follow everything. So I don't say let's put our hands together for the Lord. No, you don't put your hands. I'll say let us lift our hands. What we lift is holy hands. Hallelujah. Let's lift our holy hands. Now that doesn't mean that we might not. I can say let's appreciate Pastor Dokpe. Let's appreciate him. We can clap. Are you understanding me? But I can say, let us appreciate the Lord and your clap. What we give to the Lord is purely worship. We worship him. We don't worship Pastor Tokpe, so we can say, let's lift our hands to Pastor Tokpe. Amen. So we don't do that. But we can clap for him, probably. And then can I say to us, if we feel blessed by what he preached, give thanks to the Lord. Because the Lord just used him. It's not necessary we clap for him. Not necessary. We might clap for him. Okay, I'm introducing him. Well, we have a minister amongst us. Let's appreciate him. We can clap for him. But when he ministers by the Spirit, he ministers the word, let us give thanks to the person that the thing is coming from, not from him. It's not coming from me. It's not coming from any of the ministers. It's coming from the Lord. And how do you give thanks to the Lord? You lift up holy hands. You say, Father, I thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for using him. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, this is for our household. Did you hear what I just said now? Now, it might not be done everywhere, but that does not mean that we should do what is being done everywhere. Amen. Do we want to move up with the things of the Spirit? Do we want to appreciate with the flow of the Spirit? Then we have to hear what the Spirit said to us as a church. Amen. The other one is that we must learn not to quench the Spirit. It's also alike. So there are many things we do to quench the Spirit. We must learn, that's why we are learning how to respond and flow with the Spirit, so that we will not quench the Spirit. When we clap, we can quench the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. Even when you do some things that seemingly are okay, but done at the wrong time, you can quench the Spirit. Even me, when I'm praying or when I'm doing something, I'm sensitive. When the anointing begins to reduce, I'm going the wrong direction. I have to trace my steps back. You know, I used to tell my pastors in Sunday school, I said, when you're teaching Sunday school, any emphasis you're bringing and you sense the anointing, stay there for a while. There is something the Lord wants to say there. Now, if you don't learn that, you can just want to, okay, I want to finish the manual. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't finish the manual. You can discover that might just be in the whole manual. This is what the Lord wants to emphasize. Because at another time, you will still visit the manual, maybe in another way. So you flow with the anointing. You flow with the anointing. So you must understand that, so that we don't quench the Spirit. Now, like I said, if you minister by the Spirit and you notice that the anointing, you're saying something and the anointing is waning. Maybe I'm praying for somebody. I was praying with the anointing and then I began to say something. The anointing is waning. I know that's not what to say now. Lord, help me. I have to go back to what I was saying before. And then from there, I'll connect. The same way also with the interpreting of tongues. You interpret tongues with anointing. You interpret tongues with anointing. You should be able to, you know. Now, so one of the reasons why we need to learn how to respond to the Spirit is to prepare for a greater move of the Spirit. There is a move of the Spirit that is going to come upon this generation. And as a church, I've been praying, we will not miss it. We will not miss it. In fact, my desire, can I tell you my heart desire? I want us to be at the forefront of it. I always like to be used. Who doesn't like to be used? I like to be used of the Lord to be of blessing to others. It's a good thing to desire. It's a good thing to desire to be used of the Lord to be of blessing. So I want to be at the forefront, not because I like preeminence, no, or that I necessarily have to be at the forefront, no. I just desire to be used of the Lord. And I want you to desire that with me. Amen. Amen. So because of that, we have to learn how to yield to the flow of the Spirit. Now we also have to, now don't misunderstand me. Now I'm not saying we don't have liberty. We have liberty, but our liberty is in the Spirit. Our liberty is in the Spirit. We must not make that mistake. We have liberty, but our liberty is in the Spirit. So in teaching, what I'm going to be saying after this is not to censor the move, no. Is to actually help us to align properly. When Paul was teaching about it in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, at the end, what he said, let everything be done orderly. Amen. Amen. So what is the reason for all he began to share from chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14? Why? Let things be done orderly. Can you tell somebody, let things be done orderly? Now, in the realm of the Spirit, there is order. You know that. In manifestation and yielding to gifts of the Spirit and flow of the Spirit, there is also order. One of the words they use for us is Pentecostals. Now, the Orthodox uses that for Pentecostals. Pentecostal is all that speak in tongues, all that have received the, you know, gift of Pentecost. So they use the general word Pentecostals. And the reason why they call us Pentecostals is that they feel we are rascals. That we don't We don't follow order. You know, for some of them, they liturgically follow a certain order of service, and then you can't go out of it now. No, we don't do that. We have liberty in the spirit. But that we have liberty in the spirit does not mean that we are lascivious or that we are out of order. We just need to understand that our order is in the spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are people of order. So let's look at these scriptures. I'm going to be talking, taking some things from these scriptures. I'm going to read scatteredly because I'm not going to be able to say everything. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. No, I'll just speak certain verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1. Follow after charity. Can you say follow after charity? Follow after charity. And desire spiritual gift. Now, I want us to watch these things. They are very, very important. One is follow after charity. It didn't say follow after spiritual gifts. You follow after charity. So, if there's anything to follow, it's charity. But desire spiritual gifts. So, the key to spiritual gift is what? I was teaching this thing this morning in the dream. And I was telling you guys, I said, we have to begin to desire spiritual gifts, not only tongues and interpretation. Thank God for tongues and interpretation. We've used it and it's of a great blessing, but we also have to desire. There are 9 gifts. Amen. There are 9 gifts. There's utterance gift. There is power gift. There is revelational gift. Now, all of them are all supposed to be in our midst. Amen. Now, that you manifest a gift during meeting does not automatically, for instance, you prophesied, you spoke in tongues, or you interpreted tongues. Does not automatically make you a prophet. Or that you laid hands on somebody and the person got healed, or the pastor called you. There's a brother, one of our brothers here, that has gifted, very well gifted. But I've never seen him wanting to take up issue of preaching. But I've been led by the Spirit one time in Vokes, when we are in Vokes, to call him to it told me he has word of knowledge. I was led to call him. I didn't know he had word of knowledge, but I was led to call him forth because the Bible said if anyone has revelation, anyone has. So I was just led to call him, and I called him, and he spoke word of knowledge to a sister that needed a miracle. And that was where the miracle began. After that, the sister received what she wanted, or she was trusting the Lord for. So I'm trusting the Lord that we will, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I'm trusting the Lord that gifts of healing will begin to manifest in our midst. Amen. Gifts of faith will begin to manifest in our midst. Amen. That in a meeting, it is not just only the ministers. Because you know, somewhere in our mind, we've only taken it as only ministers. And then maybe if I lay hands on somebody, or I prayed for a brother and the brother got healed, then automatically it means that I'm now a pastor. No. No, you're a brother. You're a sister. You're first of all a brother and a sister before you became a pastor or a minister. Now, if we don't change our mind from if we see this gift manifesting in my life, then that means I am called. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The deacons, those who were elected deacons, what were they doing? They were elected to share table, to be sharing. And the Bible said, signs and wonders were wrought by the hands. So as they were giving out bread, people were getting healed. They didn't pray. They just, brother, sister, Janet, this is your own share. As Sister Janet is receiving the bread, she's healed of an ailment. First of all, you need to also understand that bread is a point of contact. Because divine healing is a bread for children. But as she's receiving it, she's getting healed. Now the Lord wants that in our midst. Gift of faith has to operate. Now that doesn't make you a minister. That doesn't mean that you are now called. No. It's just what should happen in our midst. I just want us to reorientate let's take our mind from a particular wrong mode so that you yourself will be ready for the Lord to use you at any time. It might not be in a meeting that we might call for that. It might be in house fellowship. It might even be while you are talking, as we finish church, you're shaking somebody. You're shaking somebody. And as you're shaking the person, you just say, I perceive the Lord is saying this to you. I perceive the Lord is saying this to you. You have a word for the person. I remember the time I went to Bethel Church, Reading. As you're entering, their ushers are powerful. At ushers, you're entering, you know, as you approach the door, as they're shaking, you're welcome, my brother. I'm praying for you that this meeting will be a great meeting for you. This will be an encounter for you. This will be an encounter for you. You can go and sit down over there. But you will encounter the Lord. Everybody, they are welcoming. They are praying for the person. Amen. Amen. Don't worry, there's going to be such. You know, you said it's long overdue. So that's why I'm teaching it. Amen. Amen. I perceive there's something that the Lord wants us to hear. But what I just sense while the tongues are coming, I just sense something like that had been caged all this while, wanting to just bust out. I just sense the move of the Spirit in a greater dimension wants to bust out. But somehow in our mindset, because of our, you know, that's what I talk about, that's where we short circuit. The mind we've had all the time is that anybody that this is manifesting through is a pastor or is for pastors. It's not for pastors alone. It's for ushers. It's for those who are in the sanitation. So as you're taking care of the toilet, as you just finished washing the toilet and somebody that has a disease goes to sit there, the person should get up to be healed. Because the anointing can be transferred. Yes. I can just finish cleaning a place. You sit down there and you will, whatever spirit that had plagued you, that spirit will leave. Because an anointed hand dusted that place. And as I'm dusting it, anointing is also being deposited there. Amen. We have to be ready for these things. So first of all, let's change our mind. Don't just think of yourself as an office girl. As an office boy, I just go to my work and then after that, I'll come to church on Sunday. No, see yourself as a vessel that can be used at any time. And that does not make you, you know, okay, maybe I'm thinking of I should resign right now and I'm going to the ministry. No, you have to be called. But that does not mean that the anointing cannot flow through you. Amen. Departments, I expect things to be happening. Hallelujah. So it begins with the kind of mind we have. Amen. 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 As we finish, you're shaking someone. You're shaking someone. You're just exchanging greetings. Somebody had hugged me one time and said he felt something. He just felt so much strength and energy just came on her. I say, it's not me. I didn't even know anything like that happened. But it should be like that for us. What I'm saying is that when you're coming, you should have the willingness of heart to yield to the Lord in any measure He wants to use you. Let me go further. Do we have interpretation of that? I would like to take it. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Flani, Kistva, Noko Papra, Ivino Paul, Frosh Te Paul, Vandeli Kete Paul, Main Christ to Paul, Imoto Feli to Paul, Main Christ to Paul, Ivino Toto Paul, Among Grains to Fire to Noclete to Paul, Ivino to Paul. I want to pour. I want to pour out myself again.
Yeah.
I want to pour out myself again, again and again. And again and again and again and again. For every level of your growth in the spirit has a need, needs a measure of the outpouring of the spirit.
Yes. Yes.
For vessels needed to be filled again and again, again and again. That true vessel, I may show forth my mercy. I may show forth my kindness. I may show forth even my tenderness towards even my people. See, the Spirit of God. I want to piruno shikanye di kenu agaga dance tevindo. This is how you take care of the body. You take care of the body by me. You take care of the body by me. For demosi Christa bani ekeke sadina. Even the hands, the leg, the eyes, the ears, ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, impregnated with the Holy Ghost. That through, even through these vessels, the need of the church may be met. For none unimportant in the church. Everybody's important. Everybody's important. For you have that you ought to contribute and to do and to give even to your brethren. See, the Spirit of God, I want to be at home with you. I want to be at home with you. Even as I was at home with Simon Peter, that Simon Peter was just walking on the street. He was not planning to minister. He was not planning to do anything. He was just walking on the street. Then his shadow fall on men and they will be healed. I want to be at home like that with men. I want to be at home like that with men. That just me are cooking. That just me are taking care of children. That just me are talking to a friend in the office. That just me are being in market. That just me are being in places, in public places. People feel my loving kindness. People see my mercy. They see my care. I want to move. I want to move through men. I want to move through vessels. That my body should not be lacking. I don't want this church to lack. I don't want to lack in this church. Therefore, I say, yield yourself to me. Yield yourself to me. Because I'm coming again. I want to part myself. Oh, the cloud is heavy. I want to part myself. Get ready and prepare for an outpouring of the Spirit. See Jesus.
Amen. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 will receive it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, like I said, one very thing, key thing is desire. Can you say desire? Desire. We must desire spiritual gifts. It didn't say desire spiritual gifts as in one, because it talked about prophesy, but desire spiritual gifts. So desire all of them. Amen. How many of us desires all of them? The Lord has spoken to us. The tongues that came is talking about pouring. He said, I will pour. I am pouring. I will pour. I am pouring. Amen. We give God praise. So it means He's already pouring. He's already pouring the gift out. He's already pouring out the gifts. And they will be in greater manifestation. So He said, follow after charity. Now, that is where the issue of order comes in. When charity is lacking, when charity is not the basics of the attitude with which gifts of the Spirit is used, then you would have been going wrong. So what you follow is charity. Follow after charity. In other words, when I am manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, it's not really me that manifests, it's the Lord that manifests that through me. I should have enough charity. So if we are to follow after charity, it means we have to pray for charity. We have to pray for a heart of charity. Then we follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that we may prophesy, because we are a prophetic people. Amen. So we desire spiritual gifts, and what again do we do? We follow after charity, we desire spiritual gift, and we want to prophesy. Now, there's a reason why he talked about prophesy, because in that way, people will be blessed. Prophecy is not that it is the best or the highest of the gifts. Amen. Let's look at verse 30, so that you understand what I'm talking about. Verse 30. Now, this is where charity comes in. If anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. That's charity. Did you see that? Let me give you an example. I interpret tongues. Even some interpretations, I hear them. And somebody brings tongues, another person brings another tongues, another person brings another tongues. I can know if those tongues are saying the same thing. And most of the time, they are saying the same thing. And if I want to... Now, the thing looks somehow. I was asking the Lord. The Lord showed me. He said, if anything be revealed to another that seated by... Let the first, now that word first is somebody who is more matured. Keep quiet. It mustn't be you. That's charity. That first means the person had learned how to use the gift and had matured spiritually in using, not that the gift matures you, you learn how to use the gift, but you have enough charity. So that having enough charity is what makes you first. I receive it, but I don't notice that the thing is, I want to say it, and I don't notice that somebody is already, I'll keep quiet. I shouldn't make my own louder or want to force it. So that it will not look like I'm not bringing messages again. Amen. 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 Now, let me say this to you. The fact that you're used to bring forth manifest gift of the Spirit does not in any way validate you for growth or maturity. That's not a sign of maturity. A sign of maturity is that I have it, but I'm able to keep quiet and let somebody else do it. That's maturity. That's charity. Charity is maturity. How much I'm able to walk in charity is maturity. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So I say again, gift does not mean that you are now spiritual. You know, I tell you this, I'm your pastor. I tell you this. That the people that trouble me most are the people that bring forth tongues. Now, I'm not saying everybody that brings forth tongues. Please don't misunderstand me, but it's just an observation. You know, there are some people you want to, if maybe Sister A is prim and proper, well behaved. Now, it's not a general statement. Please, I'm saying it's not a general statement. But I asked the Lord, and the Lord explained it to me, and I'm going to explain it to you. And Sister A is very prim, very proper. You know, I can give something to her, and she will handle it very carefully. And then, you know, and everything goes well. And Sister C is just not together. And then in meeting, she first of all yields to the Spirit. Sister A has not yielded to the Spirit. You know, Hagin talked about it in one of his, a family, two families. The other ones, they are rarely in church, but whenever they are there, they receive everything the Lord has to do. And there is a particular one that is always in church, and then that one does not. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So Sister C is not together, but she flows. And then she brings tongues. I used to get those days, not now. It's not happening now. It's not happening now. It's those days. So I used to go to the Lord. I said, Why is it like this? Because I would prefer Sister A to give the tongues. You know what the Lord told me? He said, if Sister A, who is proper the way in your own assessment and your own listing, gives tongues and also interprets and does every other thing, and because you always perceive him to do everything well, you would throw away Sister C. The Lord is interested in Sister C. So he gives Sister C gifts so that the Sister C will not feel left out in church. And then we will also have to depend on Sister C because the body is interdependent. Now, there is none of us that doesn't have infirmity. Even Sister A has infirmity, but it might not be obvious. It's just that probably the way she grew, they taught her how to manage things well. And Sister C, not manage things well and well arranged. But Sister C may not have grown in such an environment, but the Lord is the one who is the one. He is the Lord of all. He gives freely all things. He doesn't. His judgment is not like our judgment. So he told me, the reason why I'll give it to Sister C is so that you will value Sister C in meetings. Even you will desire Sister C to be in the meeting. And Sister C will not feel left out, because sometimes Sister C, because maybe the way she is, you'll just feel, maybe I'm not changing. I don't know. I even know that I'm not together, all together. But so that she will not give up on herself, the Lord will bless her. Can you see judgment? Can you see charity? And that's also how we ought to behave when we are manifesting gift. So if I'm matured, I should keep quiet for the other person if he brings forth. Maybe I have it and I wanted to, and then he starts. I'll keep quiet. Amen. Did you understand this? Then, the next, he said, for ye may all, can you say, can we say it together? Can you say it together? You may all do what? How? Can you say it again? So I'll wait for you. You prophesy. And then I prophesy. Take turns. Don't be screaming there and the other person is screaming here and the other person is screaming there. Now, understand me. There are reactions that are not necessarily message. Because this is trouble our pastors that interpret tongues. They know when it's reaction. I know when it's reaction. If you use these things, you know when it's reaction. And then the person can just be reacting because the word hits him, or maybe there's a move of the spirit, and then the person is touched and the person is reacting to the spirit. And then the person, oh my God, it means this thing is now flowing. Pastor Tokpe must interpret it. And Pastor Tokpe, if he doesn't interpret it, the sister comes or the brother comes. You don't like me. Pastor Tokpe will say, what did I do? He said, you don't like interpreting my tongues. No, I'm not saying to you something. It's something that I've seen. Somebody came to me and said, you don't like me, Pastor. You don't like me. That's when I used to interpret tongues most of the time. You don't like interpreting my tongues. Amen. Praise God. Now, if your tongue is not interpreted, don't feel bad. Charity. Grow, mature. Your tongues must not be interpreted. It must not be interpreted. I'll mention some things that you need to note as I go on. Amen. Because sometimes you put pastors into trouble. They know you are. You are expecting, thank God for the grace. So sometimes they have to wait on their spirit and draw from the well. Wait for to stir. Most of the time when you see them speaking in tongues, not all the time, sometimes is to assess the mind of the Lord in that meeting. Not necessarily, I'm saying it to you because it happened to me, not necessarily that they are interpreting your tongues, because your tongue may not be message. They are prophesying. They are happy with me. I'm helping them. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Am I now saying, don't react or don't respond to the Spirit? You know what I'm teaching you is how to respond to the Spirit. I'm not saying don't respond to the Spirit. But in responding to the Spirit, don't make it a must that it must be tongues and interpretation. Because in the house, we have tongues and interpretation. So every tongue must be interpreted. You know, when I used to interpret tongues, I had troubles. I had troubles. And then it was me alone. I had troubles. In fact, it got to a point where I was almost like, when the tongues is coming, and I know this is not message, I would say, you have to interpret that tongue. You yourself that is speaking it, have to interpret it. That's what I'm saying to the person in my mind. Why, that thing, you will have to interpret it. Because the Bible said that he that speaketh in tongues should pray that he should interpret. So when you're speaking, also get ready to interpret it. Now, I had a lot of warfare. I had a lot. They understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes you finish interpreting, you just feel you say nonsense. Especially if we finish interpreting and the preacher did not go there. You know, there's a way you can finish interpreting and then he begins to emphasize or say, wow, this thing is directional. And then he just left it there and did not say. Amen. But it's not so. It's not so. It's not really so. Amen. You can interpret and it might just bless, it might just be for one or two persons. It might not be for to aid the message. Amen. So you may all prophesy one by one. I want to stress it. One by one. So if you come up with tongues and you're already, your voice is rising, if you also have tongues and you notice that somebody is already rising, wait. Let the person finish. Then you can pick it up. And it might be that as you're waiting, you should also be sensitive to know, is this message? You can know. Check your spirit. Is this message or is this not message? No, I also say this, that I can give a tongue and it's a message. You give a tongue and it's the same message. And another gives a tongue, it's the same message. Now, when one, two has given tongues, and I still feel, you know, I had it first, and then somebody else, it jumped on somebody, and he gave tongues, and another person gave tongues, I should keep quiet. Somebody said, but the thing is moving me. The thing is moving me. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, it might be that another time you will give. Now, what I'm saying is that don't want to always be the one. Desire spiritual gift, but it must not be by force. Yes, sir. Pastor, this is a challenge. And every one of us is like, you know, when you're used by the Lord, there's a way you feel. There's a feeling you get. It's satisfying. Even when you bring forth tongues and it's interpreted and it blesses everyone, there's a way the person who brought forth that tongue feels special. I'm not against it. You need to feel that way. It's the Lord that does that. It should refresh your own soul. But I'm saying you don't need to force it. That's not what makes you grow. Charity is what makes you grow. Did you understand what I just said now? So you may all prophesy one by one. That all may learn and all may be comforted. Praise God. Let's look at 32 also. Then are you seeing why you need to wait for the other person? You can say, it's moving me. It's like a turbo engine. I feel like busting. Pastor, if I hold it, I will not be okay. Remember Pastor Tayo Ladejo? Did you remember? You remember? Person had word of prophecy. I said, Pastor, I want to prophesy. He said, hold it. I feel like prophesying. I said, hold it, hold on. And then he walked away and went to the corridor and prophesied. And then when person now called for prophecy, he said, I've released it. I've released it. Prophecy is not for corridor. It's for exaltation. It's for comfort. It's for what again? Edification. And it's people you edify, not corridor. So you can just see that the person must just prophesy, even when pastor is saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. I've got to say it now. If I don't say it, I will bust. No, you won't bust. Look at what he said there in verse 32. Verse 32. Can we read it together? Hallelujah. The spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. Now let me go back. When he said verse 31, because the Lord told me to emphasize it. He said, for ye may all prophesy one by one. Does not mean that you are all prophets. It's just gifts. It's just gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's different from the office or offices of Christ, which is the fivefold ministry. They are different. Did you get that? Amen. How many of us have already gave gifts to men? Let me see your hand. If you've read, he gave gifts to men. No, not in the last 1 year. Maybe you've read it before. Maybe last 10 years. You've read, he gave gifts to men. Okay, put down your hand. You've not read it at all. Don't be shy. So you need to go read it. I may not take time to teach these things, but you need to. What did I say? You need to go read, he gave gifts to men. There he was teaching about the fivefold ministry gifts. You need to know it. Those are foundational teachings that you need to have. You need to arm yourself with them. So that you also will not be deceived out there. Somebody told me one time he was going and somebody just stopped him. And told him, I saw something concerning you. I saw the color of the house where you're living. And so what? Or maybe you're walking on the way, somebody say, I've seen your ministry. I've seen your ministry. And then you're just going your way. He said, you're supposed to be a powerful evangelist. The person wants to kill you. Because that's not how it happens. Amen. Praise God. So you may all prophesy. It doesn't mean that you are all prophets. It's different from office. But you may all prophesy. Lord, for ye may all. Ye may all. Is may all. But when you're doing that, do it one by one so that everyone may learn. Praise God. Then let's look at another scriptures there also. Verse 39. Amen. Wherefore, brethren, do what? Do what? And do what? So we are not forbidden speaking in tongues. We are not forbidden interpretation of tongues. We are just saying let things be done orderly. We are also commanded to covet. This is the only place or one of the few places where they say you should covet. The commandment is covet not one another's, your brother's goods, not gifts, goods. Did you get that? They told us to covet spiritual gifts. Or covet, desire spiritual gifts. Covet to prophesy. You know the way you covet what somebody else has? Covet to prophesy. Prophecy, tongues and interpretation equals to prophecy. So when you're operating in tongues, it's also prelude to prophecy. Or it's prophecy in tongues, in an unknown tongues. Interpretation is prophecy in a known tongues. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. And so when he said covet to prophesy, it means you can covet tongues and interpretation. You can covet tongues, you can There's diverse kinds of tongues. You can convert interpretation of tongues. You can convert to prophesy. Can we convert it? Don't convert shoe. You know, I remember those days in those days of prosperity. That was one of the things that was covetousness was everywhere. In the name of claiming, maybe I see your sneakers. Kai, I covet that sneakers. No, we don't use covet. Say I claim. Like, how can you claim what belongs to me? I claim these sneakers. These sneakers is good. I claim it in Jesus' name. But can I tell you how I came into most of the gifts of the Spirit that I have come into was actually through desire. I saw it manifested to someone and I desired it. I desired it. Some of them you need to wait desiring them. Some of them you need to pray desiring them. Some of them you need to, like prophecy, they say covet. Coveting is more than just desire. I don't know what you understand me. Coveting is more than just desire. I can covet something from you. I can just package some gift and give to you. I want to take something. Amen. I can just send some, maybe just send you like 5,000 into your account. You blessed me. You just, that gift, whenever you operate it, it blesses me. Now, I'm not saying let's trade gifts. It's not Forex. I have to say it now because you can misunderstand me. You will now be prophesying and checking your alert to know when it means that I'm blessing people. People are coveting this, you know. And, you know, no, that's not charity. Desire to be of blessing to someone. But I'm just showing you how you can express it. That when we say covet, you know, when you covet, you take, but this conversion is given. When you covet goods, you want to take. But coveting spiritual gift up to prophesy, in my warrant you giving, not taking. In my warrant you blessing the person. Amen. Amen. I won't say much around that place, but I know that I've been blessed that way. I just find a grace operating in somebody's life and I just see it. Once the Lord opens my eyes and I see it, I sow into it. I sow again. Before I know what is happening, I'll see it manifesting. Did you learn something by what I just said now? Amen. Praise God. All right, let's go forward. Give me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. I'll just read that and I'll touch some other few things. Amen. Praise God. From verse 19. Can we read it together? So it's possible to quench the Spirit. So we are going through this so that we will learn not to quench the Spirit. Then do what? Despise not prophesying. Then what again? Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Quench not the Spirit, desire or despise not prophesying. So we don't despise prophesying. That's what I was talking about. One of the ways you can show despite to prophesying is when those gifts are going on and you just stand up or you behave anyhow or you hiss. But let me share with you this. You know, we've all got our own here and there, you know. But I see, we have a meeting and the meeting has been stretched long. And then when that is just ending, somebody starts speaking in tongues. How many of us has he had one to? Oh, here we are. I thought I was the chiefest of all sinners. Because the meeting has been stretched and then stretched and stretched. And by the time it rounds up and it just wants to share grace, somebody comes up with tongues. And sometimes it won't just be one. After interpretation, he gives second one. Habba. Amen. Let me show you what that can do if you're not careful, if you don't watch your heart. You need to watch your heart. That can make you to begin to despise prophesying. Yeah. I need to say that. Because I had to correct myself. So if the person brings forth, then we'll wait. Waiting the next 30 minutes will not do any harm. Amen. I used to ask myself, what exactly are you going to do? What are you going to do at home? Wait and be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go through this point. Things we need to know, in a meeting that will help us in a meeting. Can you just help me do something? Can we just bow our heads and pray? Just bow your heads and pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I didn't want to rush the points that I want to bring right now. These points, I just want you to take it to heart. If you can jot them down, jot them down. It's necessary. I've said some of them. I'm going to just reiterate some of them, but put them down so that you can go through them all the time. It will help you. Now, tongues and interpretation, you must understand, tongues and interpretation does not replace the place of preaching or teaching of the word. It doesn't. It doesn't replace the place of preaching and teaching of God's word. Now, in its manifestation amongst us, we must also make sure it does not do that. We've been in a meeting, not in church, but in a meeting, where tongues and interpretation came so much. I used to interpret tongues. I still interpret tongues. Not used to. I still interpret tongues. But then it was primarily I. And then there was this. It was happened like once, twice, thrice in a meeting. One person brought tongues. The first I interpreted. The man of God was supposed to preach, as Reverend. Somebody brought tongues. I interpreted. He brought the second one. I interpreted. The second person brought tongues, I interpreted. He brought the second one, I interpreted. The other one, wanting to exceed, brought the first person who brought tongues, brought the third one, I interpreted. The other one, wanting to equal, brought another tongue. You said, it happened. Sometimes I will just tell Daddy, please, go on. Amen. Now, at that point, I felt like calling the people involved. But at the same time, I also saw, because sometimes I may not be able to say some things to you because you don't have the maturity to handle it, so I'll just keep quiet. But I wanted to call them and say, look, when we are here for meeting, preaching, it was a teaching meeting, tongues and interpretation does not replace the preaching and the teaching of the word. Rather, it just aids it. It's just an aid. And sometimes, that aid might not be necessary. It might not be necessary. Gifts of tongues only aid or help the ministry of the word for the reason that prophecy speaketh unto edification, unto exhortation, and unto what? Comfort. So I may be preaching and teaching, and prophecy comes, or tongues and interpretation comes. The primary The primary aid or primary help he gives to the ministration is, I may be teaching something, and the Lord wants to assure hearts of people concerning that matter, or sometimes some of them will feel bad that the things that are being said, I'm not measuring up to it. And the Lord can perceive that, but the Spirit of the Lord can perceive that. I want to assure them, so he speaks unto comfort. He can also speak unto exhortation, encouraging us. Exhortation, not exaltation. Exhortation. Praise God. Exhortation means to, in the secular way, talk about motivation. No, we don't motivate, we exhort. Meaning we stir up, we encourage. So prophecy can come for to encourage. It can come to edify. Edify means to stir you up onto building. And it can come for comfort. So it can. That is the way it aids the preaching of the word. Now, it's much more than that, I must say, because there are some tongues that are, let me say, some tongues are directional. We are not just saying that those tongues actually give direction to the minister. It just helps the minister see the direction. I can be seeing when I'm ministering, I can be seeing a particular door of utterance. Because utterance are doors. In ministering, I can see different doors. I can't enter into all of them together because one door can lead you to another, in ministration. And then I may not be able to enter into, and I'm wondering which door do I enter, or which door do I take? Which route do I, another word for door is route. Which route do I take? You hear that all the time from ministers. I feel the Lord made me take this route. I don't know why I'm taking this route. Those are doors of utterance. Now, like I said, I'm just looking at, okay, I'm seeing like 3, 4, 5 doors, and I don't know which one to approach. And then tongues comes. And then speaks. And while he's speaking, might be a confirmation of a particular door that is before me. What I mean door? Door of understanding. Door of understanding concerning what the Lord wants to say at that time. So when he comes, then I just know that this is what the Lord wants me to do. So it had aided me. Did you understand that? Did you understand that? In that way, we can say that tongue is directional. But not all the time that is directional. It's not all the time that is directional. Sometimes it's directional. Sometimes it's not directional. Sometimes it's just for comfort, exaltation, and for edification. In fact, for it to be directional, the person who is interpreting must have also matured in using of gifts of interpretation of tongues. The person must have matured in use of interpretation of tongues. That maturity, now let me say this, certain tongues at that level, I don't mean to tease this in too high, certain tongues at a level will not come to a meeting if there is no person that has height to interpret that tongue. Did you understand what I'm saying? These are dynamics of that realm. There must be somebody who has that's why he will say, let one or two prophesy and let the other judge. Now, there must be those who have judgment. Sometimes when we interpret, you also use judgment to interpret tongues. I'm not teaching tongues and interpretation today, but I don't want to go into it too deep. I want to be able to make this point. So, like I said, it aids. Now, this is another point to note. The minister is at the forefront. The minister ministering is at the forefront of the flow of the Spirit in a meeting. We must recognize that. What did I say? The minister who is ministering is at the forefront of the flow of the Spirit and has liberty to allow tongues or interpretation, or to allow interjection, or not to allow. Did you get that? I want you to, it's to help your heart so that you not feel my tongues was not interpreted. Or I was trying to speak, and then, why is it that this pastor, anytime I'm trying to bring forth tongues, he's always saying, amen, 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 amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't want us to have offense. You need to understand order. The order is that the minister who is ministering is at the forefront of the flow of the Spirit in that meeting. It's like the person who is steering the boat. Then he's seeing what you're not seeing. You're just moved by the Spirit, but he's seeing things, he's seeing doors. Now, you must understand that he, by reason of being the preacher, has the liberty to allow interjection or not to allow interjection. Amen. Did you get that? Did that sit well with you? Amen. So that next time when you bring forth and it is not, and we just continue, don't be offended. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another point is wait for the anointing. It applies to all the gifts of the Spirit. None of them is supposed to operate without the anointing. You've got to wait for the anointing. Sometimes you're feeling like, okay, there is. When I used to interpret tongues a lot, because when you use it a lot, there are a whole lot of things that opens up for you. I could tell when the meeting is going on, when tongues is about to come. Not because everybody's doing shh. No. Everywhere is quiet. I'll just know tongues is about to come. So I'm already picking it. I've had instances where before tongues come, I already received the interpretation. I've had instances where while the tongues is coming, I am hearing it. I've had instances where the tongues came and finished. I didn't have the interpretation. I just stood up and believed the Lord and stepped in by faith. Praise God. You wait for the anointing. So in bringing forth tongues and in tongues especially, wait for the anointing. This is how the anointing builds as the word is going on. The anointing builds. There are sometimes tongues come. It's so dry. Amen. I want to say again, my intention is not to quench the Spirit. My intention is not for us to despise, but I'm just teaching us things that will help us. The anointing builds. You have to be sensitive to know when the anointing builds. Now, we might just be starting the meeting and the anointing is not yet there. That the fact that you have the gift of tongues does not mean you just jump in and bring tongues. Sometimes it can come very dry. You yourself will know that it is dry. How you will find yourself struggling to bring it out. But if you just wait for the anointing, a build up of the anointing, you'll just discover that it will just, you'll just flow. And what you bring forth will be a blessing. Did you understand what I'm saying? So, like I said, it applies to all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit, with no exception. You wait for the anointing. Interpretation, you also wait for the anointing. One time somebody asked me, those days when I interpreted a lot. He asked me, wow, he said, you are very powerful in interpretation of tongues. I said, what do you mean? He said, because anytime you take off the mic, you just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So she said to me, when you say this pastor is a spirit. So he has received everything. I told her, I said, no. When I'm saying thank you, Jesus, I'm waiting. What I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm waiting for the thing to come. Sometimes it can just come. It might be a phrase. It might even be a word. It might be an impression. I'm just waiting. I have to wait. I can't just jump into it like that. But sometimes it can come, and while you're speaking, the anointing is resting already. I've heard it, and immediately I'm just getting into it. Amen. Did you understand what I'm saying? What I'm talking about is being sensitive to the anointing. Don't operate. Hagin warned us. Don't operate any of these gifts without the anointing, so that wrong spirits will not take you over. Wrong spirits are always waiting for people to accommodate. And they love it when you have a gift. You are responsive to the Spirit. That's the danger of being responsive to the Spirit. You can fall into wrong spirit. So the key is wait. One key is charity. Can you say charity? The other one is patience. Wait for the anointing. I'll talk another one that is very, very important. Just note these things. Praise God. It's necessary. Amen. The minister, by the Spirit, directs the flow of the meeting as he is led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The minister, you must understand, the minister, I'm just talking about the minister first of all. The minister, by the Spirit, directs. So he's not directing it according to his own understanding, he's directing it by the Spirit. Sometimes, even in directing, I, as a minister, if I'm the one who is holding the mic, I don't even know what to do. I wait. While the whole thing is going on, I'm waiting. I know when to say amen. It comes here. It comes inside. It comes as an impression. It comes as an urge in my spirit. Hallelujah. And so probably I'm preaching, and while I'm talking, tongues is coming, and I'm saying amen, amen, amen. Hold it. The something inside is not accepting the interjection. Now, I don't do it by the flesh. I shouldn't do it by flesh. I wasn't taught to do it by the flesh. I wasn't taught to look at your face and accept your tongue, or look at your face and reject your tongue. I do by the Spirit what I do. Amen. And I'm still learning. I may not be perfect, but I'm still learning. But just understand, amen, that the minister, by the Spirit, directs the meeting, and he directs the flow of the meeting as he is led by the Spirit. So invariably, what we are saying is that the Holy Ghost directs the meeting through the minister. Did you get that? What did I say? The Holy Ghost directs the meeting through the minister, the flow of the meeting through the minister. Praise God. Then the other thing is that timing is of essence in interjection. Timing is of essence in bringing forth tongues. I call it interjection because both the tongues and interpretation are interjections. Timing is of very essence. What I mean timing? Timing in the sense that you must know when to come up with tongues. Probably the preacher is explaining something and has a flow and is explaining or teaching. Don't just interject. This is order, and I want us to make full use of the gifts of the Spirit amidst us. Don't just interject. Wait for the thought to land. You will know when the thought lands. Because as he's ministering, I can find a flow, a gush, a point of emphasis, and I'm emphasizing it. And while I'm emphasizing it, you interject, you can cut it off. I will lose the thought. Pastor, am I? Many times, one is ministering, tongues come, the minister who is preaching loses the thought. You just lose the flow. So he has to find, most of the time, I will have to go back again to where I probably, things I left saying, maybe I've just said them the past 5 minutes. I have to go back there and pick up again and try to flow. Because an interjection made me lose the thought. The person wasn't sensitive to timing. We need to be sensitive to timing. We're people of the Spirit. Can you say we are people of the Spirit? So being people of the Spirit, one of the things that is very, very imperative is that we should be sensitive to time. What I mean time is not time to close or time to... I'm talking about when we bring forth. When we bring forth. That is why the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If I am sensing a flow and a thought is coming, it has happened several times while Daddy is ministering. It has also happened when I'm ministering. And a tongue comes and he has a flow. That tongue at that time is not saying that it's wrong to prophesy. It's not saying that it's wrong to speak in tongues. It's not being forbidden to speak in tongues. But it's not coming at the right time. And can distort the flow of the word. That is why I say that the tongues and interpretation does not replace the ministry of preaching and teaching of the word. It aids it. So if what we aided now cuts the flow, is it aiding it? So you have to be sensitive. So I just gave you a tip. When there is a flow, when there is a gusher, allow that particular thought to land. If you are very sensitive when preaching is going on, you could know when a particular thought has landed. And if you have something, you can bring it. Amen. And most of the time, sir, when I have watched that, now I've not taught it like this in our meeting, but most of the time, when I watch tongues that come according to this order, it's always a blessing. It's always very accurate. Very helpful. Meetings have direction. We're not just gathering, it's not village meeting. It's not towns meeting. Spiritual meeting. There's always direction. Direction is given by the Holy Ghost through the preacher. So we have to be sensitive. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So another thing is, watch the movement of the word before you interject. Watch the movement of the word. What did I say? I know somebody's saying, well, what does that mean? I've never heard that before. Watch the movement of the word. No, there's a move of God's word, even as there's a move of the Spirit. They all go together. Watch the move of the word. Watch the utterance, how it's coming, how it's flowing. You have to. Those are maturity that charity will give to you. What did I say? When you follow charity, you just gain these skills. Things of the Spirit really are not. Things that one can say, 1 + 1 = 2. No. Most things of the Spirit, skills are acquired by growth. How to handle some things in the Spirit, they are acquired as you grow. As you grow, you handle it better. I may give you, okay, this is the tip. This is what to do. And you might not find yourself doing it. Because you might not... You didn't quite even understand what I just said. But you're giving to charity. You acquire growth. As you're growing because you're loving one another, you're growing. As you're growing, you just discover that certain skills begin to show up. Maybe skills in interpretation of tongues, skills in bringing forth tongues. You just discover that the sister or the brother knows when to bring forth or when to interject. How did he learn it? No, maybe nobody taught him, but charity had helped him to grow. That's why I said in that chapter 14, starting, follow after charity. Amen. Then the next one. Amen. I've said that, you know, I said I'm going to say some things that I've said before, but I'm just saying them point by point so that you can note them down. Some tongues are reactional, not necessarily message. I think I've explained that. Some tongues are reactional, not just necessarily message. In a meeting, you know, there can be an outburst of the Spirit and somebody just reacts and begins to just scream and speak. You know, it might not be that it is message. It might just be reacting to the atmosphere of the moment. It's good to know that so that I won't just assume that everything that I speak is message. But if you use charity, you will know when it is a message. Praise God. What I'm saying in essence is, let things be done orderly. Can we say it together? Now, this is the final point before let things be done orderly. Don't allow your undealt with personality to rub off on the gifts. It can. That is why you come to the place of renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Will of God. You're undealt with. I call it undealt with. Your mind that is undealt with, or your personality that is undealt with, can rub off on the gift. This is where you have to follow after charity. This is where, you know, meekness, brokenness, humility is needed. We have personalities. Now, I want to say this. Our personalities, we are not all the same. I've taught that one time. This is how we react to the Spirit. Just the same way we react to. This is a hot iron. Somebody, not knowing it is hot, just touched it. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain something to you. You need to get it. Somebody just touched it. And that's his own reaction. Somebody else touches it. Now, somebody else will now, if you didn't do like this, that means it's not that thing you touched. Not necessarily. Somebody, his own can just be, ouch. You won't know. I say, I know this person doesn't flow with the Spirit. Who told you? Now, that is our person. That is our person. How we react shows our person, the way we are framed. But you see, that person, there is the refined person of that person. Meaning there's a person that has been renewed. Now, that does not mean that the person will still shout or not shout, but it has been renewed. So, you see that the infirmity that is in that person does not flow out with that particular ministration. I don't know if you're understanding me. Sometimes I've seen people, I can tell, because I'm your pastor, I'm not just somebody that doesn't know you. I can tell, you know, somebody forcefully, stubbornly pushing forth. You have a stubborn personality. It can show forth. For instance, you're hearing amen, amen. Amen, amen. You raise the volume. Amen, amen. It's okay, it's okay. Just hold it. Amen, amen, amen. Then you're pushing it. Now, sometimes, if you're not careful, your stubborn personality is showing through that gift. Somebody went to the degree. You know, the degree. He must just have his way. Now, it doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost will not manifest you. The Holy Ghost will manifest you. As a matter of fact, I tell you that the Holy Ghost likes children. But children are full of infirmities. But I'm just saying, charity teaches you not to allow those infirmities show forth. Another infirmity that can show forth in bringing forth gifts of the Spirit is lack of patience. Some of us are just not naturally patient. Maybe because of the way you were raised, or that's just your person. You're not just patient. And if you're not careful, you can, you know, that impatience can also show or can manifest. That lack of patience can manifest. There's a whole lot. Time will fail me to begin to mention them. You know, but just understand that our imperfect personality can rub off on the gift. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not the Holy Ghost moving you. It's the Holy Ghost moving you, but your imperfect person. So that is where charity, a defiant. That is where we follow charity. So in all that I'm teaching, what I'm teaching you is charity. That charity is the one who has ability to use these gifts and use them well. So let's develop ourselves in charity. Charity will help us to prefer one another in use of the gifts of the Spirit. Because you're also expected to prefer one another. I've talked about it. Charity will remove the issue of competition in wanting to bring forth tongue. Make you no say, I pass them. I've been bringing forth tongues before you came. I brought forth two in a meeting. You want to equal me? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us are blessed? This community service. What we are discussing things that affect our community. Did you understand me? These things affect us. These things, if we are able to yield to it, if we're able to learn these things, we will do well. So help me do this. Go, every one of you again, go read Purpose, Plan, and Pursuit again. All right? That will complement the things that I've taught. What did I say? I'm not hearing you. Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
Are you promising me?
Yes, sir.
Because it will help us to open up to the next level of the flow of the Spirit in our meeting. I look forward to a meeting where not just some meetings, all our meetings will be characterized with the supernatural. We will not be trying to, you know, the way you have those days. Have you ever seen, maybe you wrote to me, you remember, there's this generator you. Lister. Jim. You know, your generation, you don't know many things. Those are kind of generators that we are in our days. And if you had it in your house, you're a big man. No, I don't want us to. That was generator, but that was crude. Or that is crude. At the time when it was being used, it was okay. There was no better technology. Technology actually is a product of knowledge. Breaking into frontiers of knowledge and understanding that comes to a generation. Then you see application of it in either appliances. Today, you have cars that you don't need to use key. Not just keyless. The keyless is the one you press. There are some. You have your key, have your whatever remote control. Before you move to the car, you started the car. In fact, there's a new one right now. You can start the car and the car can come out from where it parked at the car lot and come towards your direction and you just enter. Which one do you prefer? Amen. So if you have enough sense to want to use keyless or the one that will come out from the parking lot and meet you and you now enter, how do you think that in the things of the Spirit we should continue doing things in a crude way? Especially when the Lord is giving us understanding. Did you understand what I just said now? It's so that we can use this gift and use it well and benefit from it. Amen.
Amen.
Have you all been blessed?
Yes, sir.
Have you all been blessed?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Just give thanks to the Lord. We bless you, our Lord.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
By the new and living way, consecrated for